Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to The Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Sammy Joyner. I am your host for the show. Today, July 18th, 2015, we have a good conscious topic today. We want to learn to make police reports, and so we're learning to make police reports. You know that we had a guest on our show sometimes back by the name of Jan Hancock, a former guest on the Theory of Parenting show. She taught us about the process of making a police report in her book, and if you wanted to check on that show, you can look into our archive. But today we've been doing further research, and we've been searching online, and so we went to www.ehow.com to find out more information on procedures for filing a police report. So learning to make a police report. We have a number of incidents in our lives where we needed to make police reports, and I'm sure there were incidents in your lives or in your parents' lives where you may have, you know, heard them talk about police reports or had to go in as a witness for a police report to tell a police what did you see. And in those incidents, the police will write down something on a little pad or type something into a computer, and he will record your statements, like record your statements of what you said. So we felt that this was a worthy topic for the show because we're coming of age now, and we should, you know, make notes just in case you're out and about or you're around the house and something happens where you need to contact the police. You need to know what you should say, how you should, you know, present the information, and who should come with you or who you should talk to when it's time to do something like that. So because we have assessed our audience as teens and parents, we know that as a family, we should help also protect each other. And sometimes we're not physically strong to do, you know, a lot of physical things, you know, against someone. If our parents or our teens are in trouble, sometimes you want to punch someone in the face or slap someone in the face. But you know that is not the civilized way to act in our civil world. And you know that we have a wonderful America. We have a wonderful world. We have a beautiful America. We want to be a good citizen. So we can't always do the things like physical contact, you know, and everyone is not up for a sport where you can go out and, you know, like say I'll challenge you and you be there and, you know, we'll play some game where we go punching, you know, that's not a good idea anyway. I hate my son for the slap boxing videos that he has on the computer. But then again, I love him still because it is like a masculine little game. And, you know, he's not too feminine with all of my love. And he still goes out there. And when those kids talk to him, he knows how to like slap right back when they slap him. Some people know that you can't play these games because it leads to, you know, further violence. It leads to other fights. And it leads to getting the family involved to report crime. But sometimes when they make footage of it, you can use that footage in a police report to report the other kids who, you know, beat the children all the time. So we like to protect our children, but we as an audience are becoming of age, and we need to prepare to live in the community effectively. So ineffectiveness is going out there and getting into those physical confrontations, and effectiveness is learning how to make a police report, file charges, talk to social workers, teachers, lawyers, and also enforcement officers and the judicial body. So that way we'll learn how to make effective reports and we'll learn how to get a conviction. And sometimes maybe your report is the first report. It's a minor report. It's not the worst thing that the person is guilty of. It's not the crime that they always commit. It's not against the, you know, the police officer they assaulted. But sometimes it's just, you know, a minor slap against a, you know, a young child. They want to go for the strong conviction. Sometimes your report is going to be help. It's going to be another testimony. It's going to be another statement. It's going to be on that record when, you know, that person goes in for the big charge. So don't you dare give up because they'll be there with those smaller charges right against that person when it's time to file that big charge that they sometimes the officers wait for that makes us feel like we're not accommodated appropriately. So, you know, let's stay effective now. Just make sure you do a lot of reporting. So learning to make this police report is our interest today. My name is Tammy Jordan. We're here at A Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio, and we're talking about the process and the steps and who to contact when we're ready to make a police report. So we went to www.ehow.com to find out more about this following a police report. So it says there online that you'll need to learn about the different ways to report. So there's an online service where you can report. There's a dial-in service where you can report a crime. There's a walk-in procedure where you can report a crime. And then you can bring in information that will help the police contact the perp or the predator or the attacker or whatever, you know, the thief or whatever. You need contact information for yourself. You need insurance information if you have it, if it's like a car accident or anything like that. And then financial forms if it's like a divorce or anything like that, or if you have mixed money or if you have any type of, debit cards together, mixed accounts, if you own a house, if you've been paying car notes, if you have money orders where you've given someone sent you money and you told your guardian to hold the money and she never gave you back the money in cash, or you have a money order to say that, here's the receipt. There's all type of procedures, family court and even juvenile court if you gave a girlfriend, gifts and things like that. Gifts sometimes is a technical little word. If you give a gift, they say a gift is a gift, so technically you can't have it back. But if a gift becomes the reason for thought or conflict or any type of harassment, then you can go to the police and possibly you can decide to give that gift back and stop that conflict. So don't think that you cannot give a gift back. You can give a gift back. If someone said, no, I gave it to you as a gift and you can't give it back, that's what makes it a gift. You can say, no, I can give a gift back and I think I'm going to give it back. Some people even ask for rings back, engagement rings. If you don't marry, you don't go all the way through, then you have to give back rings. Sometimes you're in a courtship and people are expecting you to go all the way or expecting you to marry, and when you don't go all the way, you don't marry, they want money back for the date, and they want money back for the gift. So sometimes we're in repayment for all of these type of things, including divorces from families. Gary Coleman was a famous person that did divorce his family. He wanted money back from his mother and father. He wanted repayment for, they were managing his business and all type of things. So even child stars, sometimes get into the situation where they have to divorce their parents, and then they have to get money back. So don't think that these things can't even happen in a household. That's what family court is for. So we're here at Etheria Parenting. My name is Tammy Joyner, and we're talking about learning to file a police report. And so we're at www.ehow.com, and it tells us that when you file a claim online or with a police officer, don't forget to ask the officer, or when you're looking online, to find your case number. A case number gives you a follow-up number to talk to a police officer, to go back online, to look for your complaint, and then you'll have numbers that, it's almost like a confirmation number, and it's a case number that says that you did make some documentation there. Okay, and get a copy of your report if you can. They also encourage that, not just say, I don't have my case number, I don't know, I don't have a copy, I don't know anything. I know I put it online, but I don't know anything about it. I don't have any documentation. They said it's good to have a copy of the report. Okay, and it says also to make a claim for lost, stolen, and damaged property, make a claim for physical damages and mental traumas, okay? So sometimes psychiatric personnel has to be called in to see how long this person has detained you, to see how long a person has harassed you, to see if there was physical trauma, to see if there was trauma without contact, which can come via stress and anxiety, weight loss, when you're not eating, you can do stress to your body, you can do damage to your body because you're too scared or, traumatized by a person mentally, if they're tapping into you, it can really cause a lot of problems. So you have to learn how to cite that to get some your counselor or your doctor to tell the officers to write a complaint for you, to take to the officer something that's causing you trauma. Every time you're around a certain person, it happens, that it hasn't stopped, or you're having nightmares, or, anything that's happening when someone else that's harassing you, traumatizing you, or even their very presence make you have a gut feeling that you're in danger, you have to start dealing with the person through your psychiatric personnel and also through the police if there's a reason for enforcement, or through any type of judicial standards as far as like restraining orders where you can get a judge or someone to write you some paperwork up because you just feel like the person is going to kill you or like abuse you some way. So you have to learn how to deal with that. There's also forms that you can download online to report a crime. There's a tip line. Be careful with your tip line. Not every tip line goes right into the police officer database. some of them are independent citizen services, and sometimes you'll just talk to a watchdog group and you won't get right to the police when you think you're making a crime report. So make sure that you do that. And when you're doing a crime, don't forget to go to supportive services. There are all types of protection agencies. If there's a victimization of physical abuse, there's all types of other women who've been, you know, in various situations of having a divorce, or if it's a situation where you're a broken home, where they, you know, support by, you know, having a family group or something like that. There's all type of, you know, groups and resources that, you know, even money to help you with retaining a lawyer and different fees like that, or a public defender. So don't forget to look in your jurisdiction for the different agencies that will help you after you've been victimized, or your children. They also want to let you know, my name is Amy Jordan. We're here at A Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. We're learning how to file a police report, learning how to report a crime. And we found online at www.ehow.com information on doing that. And it says, report a crime where it happens for jurisdiction purposes. But we also want to stress, which is a fact, you can go to safety after a crime. Some people like to stand, say, I just been pushed in the face, and I want to run right to the phone sitting next to the person who just punched me in the face. Sometimes you want to go to safety, run downstairs to your mother's house, or run, you know, to your cell phone, lock yourself in the bathroom, call 911, get the, you know, EMT there, get the police on the line, you know, sit somewhere safely, quietly, if it's a closet, anything you can lock, you know, run to safety after you've been beaten or something to that effect, and then make the crime. If someone harasses you verbally and you want to get, you know, past that, then sometimes you don't want to say, I'm going to call the police right now. They might go into a physical attack. You want to say, okay, and then maybe step a block away, step a little while away, and then you say, I'm going to report that. Or you get home at night and you say, I just can't go through that tomorrow at work. And then so you call the police, or you call, you know, some type of service-oriented program, or you make a report that the person has been verbally assaulting you, especially if they're using profanity, especially if they're cursing you, saying, you know, I go to the India, you know, Budapest, you know, psychic, and she's going to tell me how to curse spells all over you. I'm Wiccan, and I'm going to, you know, do all these different things of you. I'm dark magic. I'm black magic. You don't know who I am. I'm from Haiti. I know voodoo. You know, I'm, you know, I'm from the charm ones. You know, I'll do this and I'll do that. You have to, I'm from Salem, you know, and you don't know, you know, whoever, you know, everybody's, you know, from somewhere. They have all some backing, you know, some connection. You know, they're deeper than one, or just their family. You know, they're going to fight hard. So you have to make sure that, you know, this type of threat, or, you know, our reason to report. So you have to go through and let people know that, you know, if I'm Orisha, you know, or something like that, on Catholicism, you know, I know the saints, the dark saints, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, that they're like, you know, I'm a black, I'm from the South, you know, I'll get you too. You know, a lot of people have to make sure that, you know, they're dealing with that, you know, that you have to go and tell someone that these people are threatened to do all type of dark magic to you and curses, and they said that the address to the different locations where they want to beat you up at, you know, was, you know, 123, you know, Spirit Spell Lane, you know, and so you have to go there and make sure that someone is following up on that address. You know, you don't want to wait to do that. So it also says, you know, get yourself to safety. Well, this is what we're going to incorporate. Make sure that you get to your safety, and then make sure you talk to, if you have the time or if you feel it's necessary to help you make a report, go to one of the agencies to help you file a report, because sometimes their agency workers know how to cite a complaint. Sometimes you're going to do a citizen's complaint, which is basic terminology. It's just a letter from a citizen. It's a reporting of crime. Sometimes you're going to have to have technical terminology, and that makes it, you know, help you to get a lawyer or some type of social worker, or it may help you to get a police staff to help you, or a department where they help write different type of complaints, depending on who's going to follow up on your particular complaint and which judges quarters that it goes into, because different judges want everything said in different ways. Unfortunately, we don't know that ahead of time, but you need to know that these are issues, you know, before you get there, and we found that out in our situation. You can get help when you're out of town. Some people say because you're in jurisdiction, you have to report in jurisdiction, but if you go out of town, you can talk to a social worker out of town, a lawyer out of town, or a police from out of town to get procedures on how to report back to that particular jurisdiction. So don't forget that you can go to safety. It says It also says to at ehow.com to collect your thoughts and make notes so that you don't get in there, get scared, go over into shock, feel like you're in interrogation, and then don't know how to cite your complaint. If they're looking for any type of terminology, make sure you can get some words, some police words, what they use. If they're looking for your feelings, sometimes people say feelings are not technical, they're not legal, but, you know, how did you feel is going to help them, you know, still come up with a summary of what was really going on. A lot of people have basis on what other people were feeling. I felt the same way. I was scared of him the first time I saw him, and most women might say that. You know, that's a feeling, but still, it has to be recorded, but it might be a technical way that, you know, this person was suspicious, and then you didn't say, I felt uncomfortable, but he just felt suspicious. See, they're going to use technicalities, and you need to be ready for that. So sometimes you need to go in and collect your thoughts and make notes because you're not sure who you're going to report to. If you're not a local that's dealing with the police, that has someone on your family that's into the department or into the legals or into enforcement, if you don't have a family friend, you might not know how to contact them. If you get in a fight with your family friend that is the friend to the contact or the connect, then you're really having trouble reporting in that jurisdiction. So sometimes going out of the jurisdiction and then having someone else help you contact that jurisdiction is going to be a good plan. So that's our show for today. And I wanted to let you know, too, that we're righting a wrong, and we're also trying to be good Samaritans and good citizens. When I was in North Carolina back in 2000, we lost a car from our apartment at 109 Franklin Court in Lewisburg, North Carolina. It was a blue Grand Am. It was stolen right from in the front of the apartment. It was a scam. The staff person told me to remove the car because it wasn't working and it needed repairs, and it couldn't sit in front of our house and my particular lot that was designated to me as a part of the apartment as free. And so they said if the car wasn't functional, it can work there, but that's a lie. It can stay there until you're able to, like, to get the car fixed. And I had the car insured, and my name was registered, and my name is Tammy Jordan. And I called the DMV today and had asked them a question about running an audit on the car and try to run the plates and run my name through the computer to see what I have registered, see if we can locate the car because the car has been stolen. And even though it's not a statute of limitations to tell at this point because the car is still at large and it's never been found. So we still don't know who has the car and who stole the car. So it's still a stolen car whenever it's found. So we know that. So we did tell that today. And so the seller asked me for $350. I was in possession of the car, and I paid her $300, which was a fee. And so I believe the car should be returned to the owner because a $50 fee is still due. And now I'm out of town. I don't want the car, and I want the title holder to have the car, just in case the person who sold me a car was a scam artist, that they had someone else's car. Then we run the title, and we'll find out who owns the car. So that much we know, and I didn't complete the sale, so we're trying to get the car back to the rightful owner. And so I never changed the title on the car, which was the blue Grand Am. So we're hoping that we can locate that car. I attached a picture to the form. It's not the actual car, but it's a look-alike to help the officers identify the car that I did drive during that time. And so I asked for help from the North Carolina Department of Transportation, which is also a branch of the Division of Motor Vehicle, which deals with license and theft in the Bureau. So I did that today as a good conscious technique for cleaning up our lives and also for moving forward and making sure that we do as citizens not just, you know, stand by like with an open mouth, like I don't know what to do. You call the police, you know. So that's what we've done. So that's our topic for today. Until next time.